I am Planta on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. We continue meeting candidates that are running in Saturday's municipal election here in Vancouver. Joining me now is Randy Helton. He is the mayoral candidate for Neighborhoods for a Sustainable Vancouver. He is a freelance translator and is a West End resident and advocate. He came to some attention in the last little while, having been described by the mayor, Gregor Robertson, as an effing NPA hack during a council hearing. Mr. Helton has never belonged to the NPA, I don't think, but I'll ask him about his political background, how he came to run for NSV, the platform he's proposing, and the issues surrounding this campaign. The website for more is at nsvancouver.ca. Please welcome to the Planta on the Line program, Randy Helton. Good morning, Mr. Helton.
Good morning, Mr. Planta. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. Thanks for joining us. Mm-hmm. So you've never belonged to the NPA, right?
Never did, no.
You belong to COPE?
Not COPE, no.
No, Vision?
In fact, I just have been too busy to turn in my resignation as a member of Vision.
Aha. Now, so the comment got a lot of play online, and the city caucus, of course, relished the clip. And did you ever hear from Robertson after that?
Well, he actually called me directly on my cell phone, and he called to apologize, and I suggested that it'd be good to get together to talk in person about the issues that were much deeper and much more important than the profanity. And so we did meet in late July 2010, but we found that we had very large differences of opinion, and so there was not really much progress on the discussion.
So we'll talk about what NSV stands for in the sort. So you have first-hand experience dealing with sort of the consultation process at City Hall. Yes. How would you, if you were elected mayor, improve that?
Okay, well, this goes back, in fact, to the message the day of the F-bomb incident. And what got me really involved here was to discover very large rezoning applications that had come forward under a program that had been adopted by Vision Vancouver with virtually no public consultation. This application for rezoning came with no advance notification to the community. And I found that it was quite unacceptable. I think that the whole problem of the City Hall right now is that there are the decisions and policies driven at City Hall are being directed very strongly by the campaign contributions from special interests, some of which are developers, but there's also foundations with very strong ideological influence.
And so the money that you folks are accepting at NSV is nowhere near that of what Vision and the NPA are in their what's in their coffers. You do have a policy on who you'll accept donations from, do you?
Yes, we do. I think they're expecting about $2.5 million each this election,
right,
similar to last time. If we're lucky, we might have $20,000 or $30,000.
Yeah.
Much of that in small donations of 100 or up to 500 or so. And we screen them to ensure that there are no conflicts of interest, whether perceived or real. And we only take money from individuals, not from corporations.
Now your slate has been described as progressive. Are you afraid that it'll take votes away from Vision and perhaps result in an NPA majority on council, or an NPA mayor for that matter? They're more avowed development than Robertson, right?
Well, in fact, I think Vision is even more pro-developer than NPA. In fact, really doesn't make too much difference whether it's the NPA or Vision in control. Their basic policies regarding land use decision making are very close together. So if it was Anton or Robertson in the mayor's chair, I think we would still see large battles at City Hall. Neighborhoods opposing the what's being imposed upon them, and a lot of time wasted in our city. So, in fact, earlier you asked me how things would change. Well, our name, the Neighborhoods for Sustainable Vancouver, is the first word neighborhoods is really going back to neighborhood-based planning in the city. And we've got a network that's been around the city for the last 4 or 5 years. A lot of people who have spent a lot of time in the council chambers and writing to City Hall and so on. So we have a pretty good idea of how the city works and what's not working properly. I think we'd find really that we could create a lot more trust at City Hall trust in City Hall from the neighborhoods and the city, and it would, this kind of attitude would spread through all of the functions of the city.
And I'm interested in how you decided to run for office. I read somewhere that you took to the last minute to run. Is that correct?
It's true, yeah. I've had a big change of heart since that that time. I was living a fairly quiet life and very active in my community on various issues. But I come from my whole life as an adult has been dealing with global issues, sustainability, environment, and so on, dealing with climate change and large financial institutions. And you know the saying, think globally, act locally. Well, I was being very local, but I realized that there are very serious problems at City Hall. And when we saw that the options on the council for mayor were one with NPA, and then because of the agreement between Vision and COPE, the only other alternative really was Mayor Robertson. I felt that we're at such a critical point right now. In fact, I think it's the most important election in a whole generation this time. And I felt just compelled because of who I am and what I'm committed to get in the race. And I take this there's quite a large sacrifice to take public office. A lot of politicians are career politicians, and this is what they do. I come at it really as a citizen, working with people I trust with very strong backgrounds, and we'd like to go in and really serve the public. We're not in it to become politicians, but to really be servants of our society.
Now, I've seen you described online, and I think it was on City Caucus, as the sort of so-called COPE candidate for mayor. Are you getting support from COPE rank and file?
In fact, we're finding support wherever we have a chance to speak in person with people. We're finding very strong support in Vision neighborhoods and NPA neighborhoods and the COPE people we talk to as well. And in fact, if you look at our policies, which are on our website, a lot of our policies are very close to those of COPE. And we've actually publicly recommended that voters go for the three COPE council candidates as well. So we're very close to them in a lot of our policies.
What about some of the COPE council candidates? Are they supporting you publicly?
Well, they haven't. And I think that's because of their agreement. It's basically a non-competition agreement with Vision,
mm-hmm.
A power-sharing agreement, which I think is quite unfortunate because their values seem very different. And in fact, the last 3 years, the COPE councillors have been very supportive of what the neighborhoods want, and they show by their voting record. In many cases where there were critical neighborhood issues, they voted against the dominant party, which was Vision at the time. But we're not a political body that is a self-perpetuating thing. Our purpose is really to serve the city and make it work better for everyone, especially the most vulnerable. And this is why we've actually recommended not only COPE councillors in addition to ours, R5, but also someone from the MPA and independent and Green candidate as well.
Well, why no one from Vision? I mean, that's what people are talking about, aren't they? They're asking why.
Yeah. Well, to tell the truth, we believe that the Vision, because of the influence of their political donors, are so strongly controlled that they're just not acceptable from the neighborhood perspective. And we cannot see even any one of the candidates that would really stand up for neighborhoods. And this kind of message has been hardly out there in the public domain. The mainstream media, I've witnessed this with my own eyes because I know the stuff that's going on the ground. I know the battles that are happening at City Hall. And often these don't get into the mainstream media. And what does get in is not really covered fairly or accurately. There's a lot of spin involved. So I think the public, if they really knew the situation, would be quite surprised.
Now, your party, is by virtue of its name, Neighborhoods for Sustainable Vancouver,
mm-hmm.
Suggests that we're on an unsustainable path. If elected, would you be against all development in the city?
No, we would. We totally support development, but the whole idea is that it should be the elected officials have the obligation and the ethical responsibility to to balance all of the demands of all the stakeholders and make decisions that serve the society the best. But no matter how good they are as individuals, they, because of the millions of dollars they're receiving from different donors, have a very hard time separating that obligation to their donors from their obligation to society. And this is just a fact that I've observed through all of their voting records.
And the other issue that, we're hearing a lot about, other than Occupy Vancouver, which is a, critical and important issue, and we'll talk about that in a sec, is affordability and, making the city more affordable. Every candidate that, you hear on on this program and elsewhere, we haven't had any vision candidates, I might add, on this program, they're talking about making Vancouver more affordable. How would you, if you were elected on Saturday, and, how would your group attempt to do that? I mean, it doesn't seem that city council can really change the price of houses in the city.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is this gets very deep and broad as a topic, but affordable includes working families, seniors, and then individuals on low income. And in fact, despite the spin that is out there, we believe that Vision and NPA policies are causing housing land prices to be expensive in Vancouver. For example, during the homelessness debate, both Anton and Robertson said they would not even consider looking into the foreign speculation, like land speculation in Vancouver, which we do think is a factor to consider. And in fact, there are a lot of policies on our website that relate to land use planning. There are a lot of policies that should be properly enforced that would reduce the cost of housing in Vancouver. One example is that the Vision is often waiving the requirement for developers to include affordable housing in large development projects. I understand the policy is supposed to be that for any large for a large increase in the number of dwellings on a site, 20% should be for affordable housing. Mm-hmm. And even in the case just approved by council a couple weeks ago on Kingsway and Boundary, the increase of 800 dwelling units on a certain piece of property should have come with 20% of those being for affordable housing, but Vision approved it without, and they basically waived that requirement. So there are many different ways that policies could be implemented that would actually bring down the cost of housing here. And we think that because of the financial influences of the developers, these opportunities are being overlooked, and what the public gets is a lot of spin.
I mentioned Occupy Vancouver. You've been there a number of times, have you?
Yes, I've been. I spoke on the stage twice, and I joined a walk on Sunday regarding housing. And in fact, I was just there this morning talking to a young person to find out really what they what their attitude is and what they think.
Now, both, one candidate for mayor, she says that she's going to take that down on the 20th, mm-hmm. if elected. This mayor, well, we don't really know where he's at with it. I mean, I've heard that it could go down before the 19th. Mm-hmm. If elected mayor, where would what would happen there at the art gallery?
First thing is I would make sure that I'd go down there in person, and I'd spend enough time to talk to them, and I think that the key thing is to avoid a physical, violent confrontation, because that's not going to do anyone any good. And I, what I'd like to do is to suggest that they reduce their footprint to a much smaller space. Like they need to look at. Well, this is part of a global movement, and they. I think it's very worthwhile to have them in Vancouver. But the question is, what location? And how big of a space they would need to have at the art gallery. I think it's worth having a 24-hour presence there for information purposes at the art gallery, just downtown. But if you look at the other needs of the people staying there, for example, the homeless or those with certain drug addictions and so on, they don't necessarily have to be located at that spot. And during this very cold winter that is predicted, if these people and their advocacy groups could be convinced that their needs will be taken care of, I think that we could actually find a solution.
And how do you think the mayor has done in terms of his handling of this?
Well, unfortunately, both the mayor and the other candidate, Suzanne Anton, have turned this into a political football. And to me that by putting the emphasis on some accidents that happened there or deaths that happened, as well as the fire hazard and the tents, they're missing the real core issues of the global Occupy movement and how they apply in Vancouver. And for NSV and myself, one of the key issues is the undue influence of political donations on the decision-making system. And so the biggest factor here is the $2.5 million that both of them are getting from political donors, and how that translates then into actual decisions in council over the 3 years of each council. So I'm very convinced that the problems that we're seeing, the battles between neighborhoods and City Hall, can be traced right back to where the money's coming from.
Well, what do you think will happen on the 19th? I mean, do you legitimately think you have a shot at winning this?
To tell the truth, I honestly feel that I and NSV and the others that we've recommended have a good chance. And the reason is that this is almost a perfect storm and a rare moment in not only Vancouver but also Canadian history. We've got the global discussions about of the Occupy movement. It's about the political decision-making system, distribution of wealth, and so on, and the influence of money on politics, and that we've got social media now that did not exist in the 2005 election or 2008 election. So people, even if the mainstream media are not giving us fair coverage, the people can still share information and ideas, and it's very special. And then we've got this election coming. It's an opportunity for our society to make a big decision every 3 years, and so I look at it kind of as a perfect storm. The key thing is whether enough people can hear about us. We're running a grassroots campaign. We can't afford to spend millions of dollars on newspaper advertising, telephone banks, town hall meetings by phone, and yard signs and so on. We really are truly grassroots and citizen-based and depend a lot on word-of-mouth spreading.
We had Mr. Martin, one of your council candidates, on the program last week, and he said something that I hadn't really thought about until he mentioned it, and that's these next 3 years on council are quite critical, aren't they?
Yes, I think the last 3 years have set the tone by various policies introduced, including the regional growth strategy of Metro Vancouver, adopted with virtually no public discussion at the final stage. And in the next 3 years, a lot of these will be implemented. So I think it's the most important election of a whole generation, and it'll set the tone for the next several decades of growth.
And are you hopeful that, we've seen your endorsements, your party's endorsements, your group's endorsements for this election. Are you hopeful that great change can come about?
I am very hopeful, yes. And I have great faith in the goodness of people and society. The key thing is really how information flows. And as I mentioned, when we have a chance to reach people in person, we get very strong support. People understand what we're talking about and would like to support us. The whole thing is how can we reach more people with the message.
And when you look at how the campaign's been run, and how sort of the campaign has evolved, I should say. Have you been able to get in to those debates with the other mayoralty candidates?
No, and we've tried our best with all the mainstream media and the hosts of the big events, and even our public broadcaster, paid by taxpayers' money, CBC, has not even replied to us.
Really?
So this feels very unfair. And we feel we have a lot to offer our civic society, but we're just not getting the chance.
Yeah, just on a personal observation in terms of the issues that you all are bringing forth at NSV,
mm-hmm.
Whether one votes for you or not is not the point. It's that we hear about these issues that no one else is talking about. And I think that certainly Terry, who was on last week, and you now, mm-hmm. I think we've been able to hear
mm-hmm.
those important issues that are critical, not just in the next 3 years, but certainly down the line.
Mm. Yeah, sure, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think if our society gave us a chance, we could deal with all of the issues of the city much more efficiently, with much more harmony, and I believe it's a whole other topic for another day. But for example, the city services review has been suppressed by successive administrations under COPE, NPA, and Vision. Mm-hmm. But there's over 1,000 items that expert consultants have said should be considered to make the city more efficient. This has been suppressed. We'd like to really open this up, open up City Hall, and we think we could save a lot of money and make everything run better.
Randy, thanks for your time today, and good luck with the rest of the campaign and on Saturday.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. The website for more, nsvancouver.ca. Randy Helton is a candidate for mayor for Neighborhoods for Sustainable Vancouver. He's on the line. I'm Joseph Plante.